Monday, March 18th, 2013. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the cold suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. We have had some internet connectivity problems this morning. I'm always impressed by the technicians at RBN and their ability to fix such problems. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit Spingola.com. Click on the radio schedule button, then the appropriate month. Follow some of the interesting links usually associated with or somewhat compatible with the ideas of the guest for that day. There's also a link to ZCF's book, Masters of Deception, at Spingola.com. On May 18th, 2004, President George W. Bush said, and I quote, "The Jewish people have been, over the years and over the centuries, that hate prepares the way for violence. The refusal to expose and confront intolerance can lead to crimes beyond imagining. So we have a duty to expose and confront anti-Semitism wherever it is found." Unquote. President George W. Bush signed the Global Anti-Semitism Review Act on October 16, 2004. The State Department and the Committee on Foreign Relations and the Committee on International Relations confirmed this legislation on December 30, 2004, in accordance with Section 4 of PL 108-332. Essentially, the federal government has established a protected religious body and now discourages dissent or criticism against the Judaic religion. Through their actions, the government restrains the free exercise of any critic of Jews and Judaism and their influence of the three branches of the government. Additionally, any member of a Christ-based religion may not freely express his or her views, which individuals often regard as critical of Judaism. Jesus, in the New Testament, criticized the Jews and their behavior, particularly their money changing and usury activities in the temple court. He was soon crucified. Alrighty, during the program, email your questions or comments to Spingola1@yahoo.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website, Spingola.com, or by going to Spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Charles Kraft. That's K-R-A-F-F-T. His website is charleskraft.com. Charles, welcome to the program.
Diana, can you hear me?
I can. Thank you very much.
Oh, great. Thank you for having me on, and I'm glad that we're connected.
Yeah. Well, it was touch and go, but as I mentioned, our technicians at RBN are quite skilled at fixing things, so hopefully the internet will remain intact during the program, but if not, we do have your phone number. So anyway, I just want to mention that there's a link to the mandates included in the Global Anti-Semitism Review Act if you click the link on the radio schedule page for today's date. Well, Carl, I just really appreciate your art. I went to your website. I've also listened to you on Carolyn Yeager's program, and I'm very impressed with your artistic ability. I mean, it's just fabulous.
Thank you. I've been at it for a while, so that's
all right.
What happens.
I'm sorry. We do have to take a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back with our guest today, Charles Kraft.
Are you facing foreclosure? Worried about late payments? Fight back and stay in your home. Zero Debt Guaranteed can help. We'll send you a free ebook just for calling 800-477-9256. Or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Get the details on how to remove your risk to your debt. And so important to many homeowners today, how to stop foreclosure. For
forget loan modification.
The Zero Debt in 90 Days system can show you how to get the bank to pay your property taxes and insurance while stopping your foreclosure.
Without paying one dime.
You can take control. Stop foreclosure. Protect your cash, assets, wages, property, and sleep peacefully at night.
We've been helping people for over 18 years.
Call Zero Debt Guaranteed, 800-477-9256. Ask for free information, no obligation. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com now.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Charles Kraft. He is a prominent Seattle artist. His website is charleskraft.com, and again, that name is spelled K-R-A-F-F-T. Okay, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do, what you work on.
I'm a ceramic artist, and I guess the technical definition of what I do in ceramics is called slip casting, which means I use plaster of Paris molds to create hollow figurines and statuettes, and then I paint them and fire them in a kiln and exhibit them in galleries and museums. And I was a painter for about 15 years before I drifted into ceramics, and I learned my skills from a group of China painters in Seattle who taught me how to make images permanently on ceramic surfaces. And after learning a technique called overglazing, I took myself to Holland, where I wanted to look at the Delftware that they made there and learn about underglazing. So I know I taught myself both of these techniques.
Super. I used to collect Delft. And yes, I love it.
Me too. I love it.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. It's just so distinct, and you can tell that it is Delft. And when I saw your figures, I thought, oh, this is amazing. You've got it down absolutely perfect. I mean, it's just so incredible. So impressive.
There's a canon of strokes that the Delft painters are taught. And when they go into the factories, they have to learn all those strokes before they're bumped up to master painter status. And I never actually learned the canon of strokes, but I've been able to approximate them somewhat because I had this past history as a painter. So I'm not really as facile as a Delft painter is. So I'm actually trying to say that I'm not as good as they are.
Well, I don't know. It sure could have fooled me. Now, yeah. I used to do French and German reproduction dolls, and using porcelain, and I had a kiln, and so I can understand some of what you're referring to, and but anyway, it's really I really enjoyed doing that, and then it just I just got tired of doing it, and so.
Hey, you know, let me tell you some interesting story about my search for information on Delft making in Holland. When I got there, I ended up with the president of the Amsterdam Hells Angels. And it turns out he's a master Delft painter, and he spent a lot of time in the city of Gouda, which is the way they pronounce Gouda. And he showed me how to do the underglazing, and he told me where to go to get the powders and the brushes, and he gave me the information on the temperatures to fire the stuff at. And believe it or not, that's who gave me my start in Delft, real true Delft underglazing. His name is Uno Unaputti, and he's right now the president of the Amsterdam chapter of the Hells Angels.
Unbelievable. I didn't know they had Hells Angels out of California. I thought they were only there.
No, they're international, believe it or not.
Oh, my goodness. Well, anyway, you were on Carolyn's program. When was it? Last July, and you'd made some comments, and you got yourself some undue notoriety. So what happened?
Well, essentially, the story, the backstory behind this controversy I'm caught up in is that my Facebook page was open to inspection, and a junior college teacher, this is what I think happened, a junior college art teacher out here began getting upset with the anti-Semitic comments that were being left on my Facebook timeline by a kind of a stalker that I had who I didn't really want to block because I don't like to be censorious. So I let this person keep posting on my page on, I would make some kind of a post myself that would be relevant to maybe, Holocaust revisionism or maybe the issue of Zionism and that kind of thing. And then the stalker would come on and be very crude in their commenting. And I think that's what actually started this controversy, because the junior college art teacher, community college art teacher, messaged me and said, "I'm surprised that the Seattle art community hasn't outed you as a bigot." And I wrote her back. I was a little bit cheeky and said, "Well, if you think I should be outed as a bigot, why don't you do it?" And that's the last I heard from her, because she didn't write back on that. So about a few weeks later, I got an email from the art critic at one of our free weeklies here, and she said, "I've received an anonymous email from somebody saying you're a Holocaust denier. Is that true?" And I wrote her back and I said, "Unless there's some art on display somewhere in the city that you'd like further information about, I don't think I have to answer that question, because it's not about my art. It's about me and what I believe." And she wrote back and said, "Fair enough." And 4 months later, I just got a message from her that said, "I'm going to go ahead with a story. I've been looking at your what you've left on the internet at, in certain forums, and what you've said on the Carolyn Yeager's White Network, and the story's going to go ahead. You can comment about it, or you can remain silent. But no matter what, I'm outing you. So she wrote this story, and the title was "Charles Kraft is a Holocaust Denier and a White Nationalist."
Oh my goodness!
And it caused quite a controversy here in the art community, and then it went viral. And so now I'm dealing with all kinds of national and international news about this. And I'll tell you what, they've blown me up in order to knock me off my this little tiny pedestal I was on before this all happened. So they're trying to say that I was a renowned and important artist. Well, I wasn't until I became infamous.
Well, this may or may not do your business any good, but I honestly really hadn't heard of you until you were on Carolyn's program.
Yeah.
But now I would kind of like to buy some of your stuff. So this may have beneficial ramifications after all.
Well, last week my art was removed from an exhibition in Paris, France. It was a group show of what they call lowbrow / street art. It's kind of the graffiti end of popular culture, and a magazine called Hey Magazine, which features these kinds of artists in it regularly, sponsored a very big group exhibition in Montmartre, and I got an email from them that the story had reached France. The comments at their Facebook page were so negative that they decided that they were going to pull my pieces out of that show.
Oh, so, my goodness.
Yeah, it's impacted me in some ways. So, but we'll see what happens as far as how much business I lose or how much business I gain. I can't really tell. I'll say, though, that now that I've been accused of white nationalism and Holocaust denial, it's going to be impossible for me to get any federal funding or state funding or city funding for any projects I might have in mind. And also private foundations probably won't honor any requests for funding that I might submit to them. So in that particular realm of art making and art displaying, I might have shot myself in the foot here.
Oh, my. Well, what exactly, I'm just not sure what you could have said that could have destroyed you economically, but if you say anything that's the least bit that they can accuse you of being anti-Semitic, they will go after you. And certainly Lady Michelle Renouf was banned this just recently from a big show in Kentucky where her pamphlets and some of her DVDs were just going to be displayed on a table of one of the vendors, and they just banned her stuff. So we are living in a very censored environment. We don't realize just how censored our environment is, and we often do what is called self-censoring, that we don't say what we're thinking because, well, we just don't want people to accuse us of things. And I've certainly been accused by my own family of being a hater. Anyway, we do have a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the 5-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley, an area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species, all gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
This is Deanna, and our guest today is Charles Kraft. His website is charleskraft.com. He is a prominent Seattle artist. And Charles, back in 1991, you brought out something that you referred to as disaster wear.
Right.
Could you tell us a little bit about that and how that kind of contributed to what's going on now?
Okay, I was, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, taking a class with a group of elderly China painters so that I could learn the technique of what they call overglazing on on production China. So, and the disaster wear idea is based on the fact that when you look at commemorative China or hand-painted China, usually the imagery on it is rather prosaic, and I was noticing 19th and 18th century images on there of pastoral landscapes and kind of peaceful pictures. So since I was living in the 20th century at the time and the 21st century now, what I was seeing on the China didn't really reflect what I felt was really the gritty life that we're living right now. So I wanted to update the genre, and I sort of have a a streak of smart aleckness in me that I can't really help. And I thought I'd concentrate on floods, fires, earthquakes, shipwrecks, and plane crashes, which was the first generation of disaster where pictures on plates commemorating natural catastrophes. Then I drifted into socio-political catastrophes, and the first thing I did was a plate with a great big swastika coming up from behind a horizon over a windmill, and that was supposed to represent the occupation of Holland during World War II. I did more and more socio-political commentary on plates, and then ended up switching to the slip casting of weaponry and painting on guns, life-size replicas of guns and ammunition after a visit to Sarajevo in 1994 during the Yugoslav War. And I was seeing a lot of Bosnian militiamen with rifles on their back, and I've been painting this Delft, and I thought, well, I wonder if those rifles would look good in, as Delft. And so that's how the Porcelain War Museum morphed out of the disaster wear. That was sort of the second phase of my work in this genre.
Oh, I love those guns with the Delft painting. Oh, those are just magnificent. I thought I have to have one of those.
It's interesting because I sell to couples, and periodically they'll come by my studio, and the ladies will allow their husbands to purchase a gun and display it in the home as long as it looks Delft, as long as it's in blue and white. But I also can make a gun using certain glazes that looks absolutely like a real gun. And I don't sell any of those. I tried to see how close I could get to make a China gun look like a real gun, and I got really, really close, and I was very proud of myself. But these things are just sitting around my studio because nobody wants them. And
I would like to have one. I just was so impressed. Who would ever have ever thought of doing a gun with Delft painting? And I mean, they're just remarkable. They're so unique.
Well, in the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam, if you go and look at their old Delft, they have these magnificent Delft violins. And that's kind of where I got the idea of objects rather than plates to paint on. I saw these great Delft violins. And after my trip to Sarajevo, I proceeded to borrow guns from some artist friends of mine that are gun collectors and make molds from these guns and then paint them with the Delft designs.
Well, they're just remarkable. Just, I mean, just the fact that you can create your own mold.
Yeah.
That is very impressive.
Well, listen, I ruined a couple of guns because that plaster of Paris is...
Oh, yes.
It's liquid when it before it sets up, and I didn't tape off some of the orifices or holes in these guns where this liquid could seep in and wreck the trigger mechanisms and firing pins and such. So I spent quite a bit of time with dental tools picking that plaster out of the insides of the guns before I returned them to their owners so that they did work.
Oh, my goodness.
And now I use what they call airsoft replicas that are made in China. They're plastic, and I can wreck them.
Oh, good. Thank goodness. All righty. We're going to go to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back with our guest today, Charles Kraft.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Charles Kraft. His website is charlescraft.com, and that is spelled K-R-A-F-F-T. And we were talking a bit about disasterware, and then there was it's so interesting that how you drifted into this, how you, and I can see why you would want to include some of the in your disasterware some of the images from World War One, World War Two, because that was such a big part of the those two wars had such a disastrous effect on the culture and the government of the United States and the governments of several other countries. And so it would be just, you know, appropriate for you to include those kinds of things in your disasterware.
Well, I was doing it without really knowing too much about the history behind the imagery I was putting onto the plates. And as I started researching World War II, I came to my present opinions about the Holocaust. And at the time I was in Slovenia on a residency, making plates there, I got extremely interested in the story of a Romanian archbishop who was deported from the United States. And that sort of led me deeper and deeper into historical revisionism and Holocaust revisionism. And the bishop's name is Villarreal Trifa. And I spent quite a bit of time studying Interbellic Romania so that I could get a fix on this bishop's political, his politics, and then understand why he was deported from the United States. I think that the charges against him, he's like John Demjanjuk. He was one of the first poster boys for Nazi hunting in the United States, and all the he was vilified in the mainstream media, and finally, after 25 years of harassment, turned in his passport and left the country because he told his congregation in Michigan, I can't ask you any longer to help me fight the U.S. government, the Immigration and Naturalization Services. These are civil court cases when a person is deported on charges of crimes against humanity or Nazi war crimes, that kind of thing. So that's how I became aware of Jewish power in America and how maybe the Holocaust is being used as I don't know how to really phrase this, but it's a political tool, I believe, and anybody that goes up against the received history of the Holocaust in any way is going to probably get slapped and slapped hard. And this is what's happened to me, and it's happened to other people. And I knew eventually, if I, you know, pursued my research and made it public, that there'd be a backlash, and that's what's happened.
Indeed. And it always seems to happen, whether you're a private person or whether you're a public person, as you are. Mm-hmm. And look at some of the politicians. Look at the story of Ernst Zundel.
Right.
Who was, all he did in Canada was to reproduce. He didn't write this booklet, but he reproduced a booklet. And the ADL version, in Canada, the ADL version, the Canadian version of the ADL went after him. They burned down his house. I mean, they did all kinds of things. He was involved in two court cases. It was absolutely terrible. And he then moved down to Tennessee. He married, moved to Tennessee. And between the Canadian government, the U.S. government, they managed to deport him to Germany, where he also was in jail there for a while. Well, awful.
Yeah, it's awful because they kept him in solitary confinement in Canada for 2 years before he was sent to Germany to stand trial. And it was a star chamber kind of charge that they kept him incarcerated with. They claimed he was a threat to national security, and he couldn't see a lawyer, and he didn't know what he was charged with. It's very strange. And then after he stood trial in Germany, was sentenced to another 5 years after he'd done two in Canada. They rescinded the law. They declared it unconstitutional in Canada, so they used it against him. They struck it from the books after he'd been convicted in Germany. And the same thing happened with his false news trial previous to being picked up by immigration in Tennessee and held in a facility there for weeks before he was moved to Canada. The false news trial that Ernst Zundel was convicted of was also struck from the Canadian books. There's no more false news law there that they can use to charge anybody with. So it's very interesting that Zundel's problems resulted from laws that are no longer on the books in Canada.
That is very interesting that they would, and I wonder if they created that law just before they arrested him.
No, they didn't. The false news law that he was convicted under was created, I think, at the turn of the century. It was old, and they dusted off these law books, and whoever was going after Zundel zeroed in on this old law and used it against him. And then the national security threat that they claimed he was as a result of the 9/11 stuff. You know, after like the Patriot Act in the United States, something similar was put into place in Canada and used against this. Let's just call him. He's a commercial artist. That's his profession. That's what he was trained as, and a historian. So he was not. What kind of a security threat is this man who's a commercial artist and an amateur historian?
Exactly. Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, even before World War II started, there were 236 references to the magical number of 6 million. And they tried to use that number of 6 million during World War I, saying, oh, there's 6 million Jews that are going to be exterminated or starved during World War I. But nobody believed it. People said, boy, you know, they just didn't believe it. So they resurrected the myth and that magical number before World War II, and seems to have stuck this time. Go ahead.
Fundraising attempts by Jewish organizations that were collecting money to ostensibly send to these 6 million threatened Jews in Europe before World War I and during World War I. I don't know if that money ever really got to those people, because if you follow these stories about Holocaust reparations, the organizations that are collecting money to give to the people that went through the Holocaust, some of them have been caught red-handed, just skimming money right off the top of the reparations they've been receiving. It's
right.
Happened in New York.
Right. And as I mentioned in the opening, I mean, if we're not even allowed to ask questions, if we're not allowed to have free exercise, then do we really have freedom of speech? If we can't criticize a group of people, yet we criticize other people. You know, look at the deflammatory remarks made about Germans and Germany. And Germany. We have anti-Semitism. How about anti-Germanism? How about anti-Arabism? How about anti-Iraqiism? I mean, people can criticize those people, in the media, in the news, anywhere they want to. Nobody says a word. It's because they do not have the organization that the Jews created in 1913 with the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL. And they created that organization just for the purpose of prohibiting speech that would target them and their activities, particularly the criminal activities that they were engaging in right after the turn of the century.
Right, the ADL was created as a result of that case down south with the pencil factory owner. I can't remember his name, right?
Yes. Was that in 1913? Was his name Frank?
Yeah. Yeah, Otto Frank, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. Otto
Leo
Frank.
Leo Frank.
Leo.
Yeah, that's when the ADL was mustered.
Right, go ahead.
Well, he was accused of murdering an employee in his pencil factory, and they felt that this was a defamation, and so they came down from New York to where down south and they proceeded to try to influence the press, and that's all I know about it, really.
Right.
The Leo Frank case was, that's when the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith was created.
Right, and actually it was a spinoff. It used to be known as the Publicity Committee of the B'nai B'rith, which was created in 1843, and then they changed the name to Anti-Defamation in 1913, and they used the ADL went after anybody in public office that was talking about Jewish crime.
Mm.
In fact, one of the people that they went after was a fellow by the name of Bingham. And he was Theodore A. Bingham. He was a New York City police commissioner from 1905 to 1909, which is probably about the same time that this Leo Frank situation became a problem.
I don't know too much about the committee before the ADL, but I do know that the ADL was censured or exposed for collecting information in San Francisco. They were kind of becoming an intelligence gathering organization, and they'd breached some sort of privacy laws there. Did you hear about that?
Yes.
I can't remember all the details, but they were collecting information that they shouldn't have had access to.
Oh, they collect information about a lot of people. And I think they're kind of in conjunction with the Southern Poverty Law Center, which also collects a lot of information. And it's amazing what kind of intelligence is operating in these so-called benign organizations that we think they're doing one thing when in fact they're doing a whole lot of other things.
Well, we think they're charities, and actually they're spy organizations.
Right. So there was an article. Did you mention the article in The Stranger that appeared on February 13th?
Right, yeah. The article
about that lady that went ahead and did the article.
Right, her name was Jen Graves, and she's the art critic at that newspaper. And she wrote the article, and it got picked up by the Huffington Post, and then it got
picked up. Oh, my gosh.
Didn't you hear about this? Then it got picked up by Salon.com. Then it got picked up by a number of other mainstream news sources. Friday I was in the Guardian UK. That's a big paper in England.
Oh, it's a huge paper.
And Toronto Globe and Mail ran a story, and I've been contacted by the New Yorker, and the whole thing is kind of getting out of control, and I really didn't think it would go beyond the Seattle art community, but it grew legs, and it's all over the place now. And the question they're asking, I guess, is now that I've admitted to being, a Holocaust denier, that I'm a revisionist. I'm not a denier. I don't deny that there was a Holocaust. I just deny certain aspects of the received history of these events that they call the Holocaust. They're asking, should my art be allowed to remain in galleries and museums? Because he thinks this way, should we let his art? How should we deal with his art now? That's the question that they're asking.
Oh my goodness!
I mean, it's kind of it takes it out of politics and puts it into the realm of culture. So they're asking, should my art be censored?
Right.
The poll at the Guardian UK, they took a poll and then they closed it. I think 63% said that my art should not be taken out of museums and galleries. And then the other remaining percentage, those people, 38% or whatever it was, 37%, said that I should be censored and this art should be removed.
So, just because of what you thought?
Just because of what I think. Yeah, my opinion about this historical event. And then, you know, on top of being a Holocaust denier, quote unquote, I'm a white nationalist. Well, white nationalism to Joe Average means cross burnings and hoods and skinheads and hate. But it's very difficult to parse these weaponized terms that the media uses to demonize people that have contradictory opinions about history and culture. So I'm stuck.
Now, do the same people that kind of control the media also control the art industry?
Not to the extent that the media is controlled. The art industry is I would say that the main, like the mainstream art magazines might be controlled, but there's a lot of startup galleries and private museums and things like that that they're not controlled, but there's an overarching liberal slant to the arts, and this is as a result of World War II. After World War II, there was no more right-wing artist, I've discovered. You had movements in Europe and America that were on the right before World War II, and after the war, there weren't any left.
Oh, my. All righty. We are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our guest today, Charles Kraft.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack, for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of bounds concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Charles Kraft. His website is charleskraft.com. Please go there. Look at some of those images. They are just fascinating, absolutely fascinating. I was just going over this thing at the Huffington Post, and they are even accusing you of using crematory ash in your pottery.
In
your ceramic clay.
Yeah, well, they're accusing me, but it's the truth. I was researching the history of bone china. The word bone in bone china doesn't refer to the color of the china as white. That's what I thought. It refers to this calcinated cow bone ash in the clay body that was developed in about 1789 by Josiah Spode, who was the founder of a pottery in Stoke-on-Trent, England, called Copeland Spode. That's where bone china came, and the cow bone ash content was part of making this hard paste porcelain that was a big innovation in European fine china making. I got a hold of his formula for bone china, and I substituted the cow bone ash for human ash, and I thought I would go into business making reliquaries for the deceased.
Oh.
Out of urns. And
right.
It could be more than urns. It could be anything, because you can pretty much sculpt anything and make a container. So I announced that I was in the business of memorializing the dead with this product I call Spone, and I took ads out in funeral parlor management magazines, and I got a little write up in one of them, and I thought, well, this could be a side business to my art, and it really didn't take off like I thought it would, but I have made these reliquaries that are made of ash, but they also contain the excess ash that...
Whoops. Whoops, what happened here? Okay.
We had a little...
Could you repeat your last comment?
Oh. Are we connected?
Yeah, we're
okay.
Good.
My last comment was that I actually launched a product called Spone, which was a human ash content clay body that I used to make reliquaries to contain the crematory ash of the deceased. They're personalized.
Well, sure. Well, that seems interesting, but the way that they have put it here seems a little bit more...
Sinister. Right?
Yeah, yeah, really sinister.
No, this wasn't. There was nothing sinister about this. I was consulting with people that wanted to memorialize their friends and relatives, and they would bring me the ideas for what they want, how they wanted them memorialized. I did a dog, a bulldog for a family whose father had been a veterinarian. I did an infantry helmet for a fellow whose dad had been in the army. I did an absolute vodka bottle for an alcoholic with a type of liver disease.
Oh, my goodness. Charles, we do have to take our 60-second top-of-the-hour break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors and the station ID.
Financial